Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, well, welcome back to the table. We are here still in Matthew, and we're going to keep going through it. We're going to go through chapters 14 and 15 today. What did we say last time? We're going to keep researching, searching, looking at this.
No digging. No more digging.
You're not digging.
Not that D word.
Yeah. Can't say that. You know, and it's fun going through Matthew or going through the Gospels at all, but it's fun going through this for me because it's one of those, you're relearning again that, you know, you're seeing it, you're understanding kind of where your faith is coming from. Like, what this is the core of Christianity, because you have a lot of red letters, you know, coming in on the Gospels, you know, and then so it's a good refresher course of, you know, it's like doing Christianity 101 all over again. You know, you're going back to the basics, and that's important, I think, because even though we all have those roots, we all know where we are. We want to make sure that we can always remember where we came from, you know, yep. And how to reach other people and how to say, remember, you know, there's so many voices coming at us saying, this is what Jesus said, and this is what he meant, and this is what he said. And then getting into it himself, like, wait a minute, that might be what he said, but that's not what he meant.
Yeah.
Or he never said that. Where are you finding that? Like, prove it, you know. And I think that's what's important, and that's why it's important to go through the Gospels, which is why we started going through Matthew and why we're spending as much time in Matthew as we are. Like, we're cutting it a lot shorter so that way we feel like we're giving the Gospels the due diligence that it needs.
Yep. And there's such rich stories that make you think about all the things mm-hmm. that God's trying to show and prove and talk to the disciples of back then, obviously, and even us today, and how it all correlates to the journey of sharing Jesus with others. So,
yeah. What gospel do you guys tell? This is just me asking a question, but if you tell somebody to read a gospel, which one are you telling them to read?
I think it depends on the person, but I would tell them Luke and John. Luke for the person who's looking for the basis of a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
and John for the philosophical, deeper. And this is, I don't know if this is the right word, deeper thinker. I don't know if that's the right, but someone who likes likes symbolism, mm-hmm. and likes to discern those things. And I don't want to use the word dig, but dig in. Anyway. John is heady. And to me, Luke is heart.
Yeah,
they both have both, but you know what I mean. When I hope you know what I mean to say that.
So. Yeah, I can see that. I was just generally curious because I don't have one. I mean, I think Doug has talked about Mark because Mark's just straight to the point. Here's your facts. Have a nice day. You know,
I've heard other people say Mark too. Like, and I think don't quote me on this. I have tendency of getting things wrong with my little brain. But I think I've heard that, you know, a lot of times when missionaries go out, it's Mark that they have transcribed to give for them to read. So
the thing that I found most often when we're sending missionaries to other places is that Mark and John are actually the ones that you see mm-hmm. translated into different little booklets and things like that. And again, I think it depends on what the purpose of your mission is too.
Yeah.
That's why I say, I sometimes tell people to actually start with other books and other parts of the Bible rather than a gospel when they're first digging in. But I think it just depends on the person. And hopefully I've gotten to know that person before I make a recommendation too, because sending a person mm-hmm. to the wrong thing, other than saying, hey, start at the beginning. But it's Deuteronomy.
So. But Mylan actually said the other day, I'm gonna start reading the Bible. I'm gonna take it to school. So when we're reading quietly at our desks, I'm gonna ask if I can read the Bible. And I'm like, love it, do that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I'm gonna start in the beginning. And I'm like, I mean, I feel you, because I like to start in the beginning and, you know, in of a series, but that might not be like, you can get through Genesis pretty good, Exodus mostly, but after that, baby, you need to go to the New Testament.
Yeah. Or what is it? Genesis, Exodus, and then you could skip to
Joshua.
Even Joshua is hard to me. Yeah. Judges is really hard. Ruth is good. Go to Ruth. Go to Ruth. And skip the Kings and the Chronicles, then go to Ezra, and you'll be good. You'll be good.
Yeah.
After Ezra, it gets into all the minor prophets. I mean, like Psalms and Proverbs, and then it gets into the minor prophets, and they're pretty cool to read, especially if you like doomsday prepper type stories. I mean, that's what the Old Testament's all about. Like, they're all like Job and like, oh, my life is horrible and stuff like that. But
I know. I do. I mean, I would, you know, I'd recently sent a Bible to somebody and kind of be bookmarked. I sent, asked people what verses they would want to share and that kind of a thing. And I put my post-it notes, you know, here's Matthew. We're going through Matthew in the podcast right now. So if you would like help, you can listen to us, you can read it, and then you can just follow along with us.
Yep.
Or I'm like, we've already done James. So start there, you know, because I'm like, I love, because James walks you through how to do it. Like, here's what Jesus said, here's how you do it. Well, you know, and you know, James will still call you out, like with gentleness and respect, but he's going to call you out, you know, but he's going to let you know how you can do the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
So those are always, that's kind of, I always say read a gospel, but you know, do that so you understand, and then, you know, maybe go to James so that way then you're good. But I mean, it's because to me, like I said, James kind of walks you through.
Well, that's why I like Christians, like in Philippians, Colossians too, because it's there, it's very much, are you doing this, are you not, are you like James, are you doing it, what are you doing, this is what you should do, hey people of Corinth, what the heck are you doing, hey people of Ephesus, what the heck are you doing, hey people,
mm-hmm.
So and we all need those people. We all need those letters to remind us of what we're doing.
No, for real. You need the letters of encouragement, but you also need to be able to take the gentle criticism and how you can improve. I do not do well with that. Talking about that today, I was like, I don't do well with taking criticism. I don't. Well, I know some of it is how it's brought how it's to given. You.
Yeah.
It's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it, you know. Yep. But I need to be better at that and not take offense as quickly.
I will say this. So one of the things I'm learning, just again working with our staff, is we have a great leader right now. He's fabulous. There are times when because it's a mainly female staff now, that he struggles. He thinks he is being very clear and directive, but tone or one word to a lady or to a group of ladies changes the whole connotation. Nothing you said is wrong. Nothing you said is not your heart, and that we don't know that you love and care for us, but you just added a word, or you just added a raise your voice question, or like whatever, you know? Yeah. And so helping him through that also shows me, what makes me sensitive? Like what is it that, about what he said that even caused me to go? And I've been known him for 25 years, you know, he's one of my dearest friends. And I trust him implicitly with my faith, with my life. We talk about everything. We're great friends. But even I can see where they're going. And I go, okay, remember who Seth is? And they're like, yeah, we do. That's why it's so weird. I said, because something someone else in the past said to you just triggered that. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Seth.
That is the story of my life.
Right.
Like, I think that's a big difference between men and women too. Because I mean, sometimes my husband, how he talks to me, I'm like, oh, how can you talk to me like that? But then he'll use the same tone with another guy and they're like, okay.
Yeah. And then you go, that's how he thinks about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you mad at me?
He's like, no. What are you talking about?
Steve Steven asked me, like, why it did this one sentence ruin our entire night? He's like, we were having a great night. And this one word or this one topic or this one sentence ruined it. And you just shut down. You're done. And I was like, I'm sorry. But I'm like, you know me. You know where I came from. You understand why I think about things the way that I do. It just because you don't think of it like that doesn't mean that it's not. And that is me having to work through triggers. I'm not saying that.
No, it's a both and to that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'm trying to get over some triggers, but you can't keep throwing them at me thinking that I'm not going to react.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a couple weeks ago. We were sitting on the couch and something on the TV made me start crying. I was just crying. I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you what it is, but I just started crying. I was upset. And Brian's like, did I do that? I was like, no, actually, it wasn't you this time, honey.
Not you.
But he goes, okay, something just like you heard something. And now I said, yep. And I got in my feelings. I got in myself.
Yep.
And I'm crying now. And I'll get over it in a few minutes. I don't even remember what it is now. But I'll move on in a few minutes. But something triggered it. And now I got to cry for a minute. And I'll be back. Like, I'll go to the bathroom, like splash water on my face or something like that. But it is amazing how quickly, because even in scripture, like we were reading 2 Thessalonians today in our staff Bible study, and something, I don't remember the exact verse, but I was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I feel like I didn't do enough today to do something. Or like, you know, like yeah. You didn't feel good enough about something and nothing I did wrong.
Yeah.
The conviction in those words of 2 Thessalonians made me go, oh, I want to be better about that. I want to understand that. I want to do this. I want to, you know, nothing wrong, but it was like a moment of, oh, do better. So there's always these things, these triggers that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why we have to keep digging into God's word and digging into friendships and accountability friends, those who aren't afraid to tell us what the heck is your problem. And do you know how much I love you, even if you have that problem? All those things.
But you need those ones. You need the ones that are going to come at you with scripture or at least pray about it and not say like, they're not going to negatively speak about your issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's your kids, your spouse, your family, like whatever, they're going to be like, okay, let's look at the Bible. I'll pray over you. I'll pray with you. You know, I'll make sure you have a safe place to get it out, you know, but let's bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Let's not just feed into the negativity. Let's really break it down. What's the issue? Let's put our Christian glasses on.
yeah. All right, so let's get into chapter 14. It says, when Herod, see, how come I get the ones that have words?
Antipas. Right.
Thank you.
I got you. I was not volunteering.
All right, when Herod Antipas, because that's exactly how it looks like it says, but I was like, I'm going to say this wrong. My mouth is like,
It's close enough. Always.
Like, you can read it. You know what it says. the ruler of Galilee heard about Jesus. He said to his advisors, this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. This is why he can do such miracles. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife, Herodias, just an awful name. The former wife of Herod's brother Philip. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry her. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of a riot because of all the people who believed John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias's daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to give her anything she wanted. And at her mother's urging, the girl says, I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. Then the king regretted what he had said Because of the vow he had made in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion over them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. And they ate as much as they wanted afterwards, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," he said. Well, Jesus said, not he said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all of their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. I don't think I ever noticed that last sentence before.
Oh, really?
I mean, I obviously I've noticed it and I've read it, but it you always hear about the bleeding woman touching his hem.
Yeah.
You don't realize that she wasn't the only one to do that.
No.
I hadn't noticed that before either, Liz, until I read it again.
I don't think I knew that till like maybe a year or two ago. So it's not like, oh yeah, I've known about that since like eighth
grade. Like, can you not read?
Yeah. We're gonna work on that on the next podcast.
Yeah, later, next one.
I thought it was a single reference for a long, long time too, to the hem of his robe, you know, being the
yeah.
The, and so.
Well, there's so many shirts and stickers now that say, you know, if I'm holding on by a thread, I want it to be of his garment, yeah. You know, and I would just always, always only think of the bleeding woman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that have faith. Like, if I just touch you, if I just see you,
yeah.
If mm-hmm. I just am in your presence. And I get it.
Amen.
I get it.
Amen.
How many times have I said, if I could just see you, Lord, if I could just touch you, if I could just know for sure I'm in your presence.
Show me a sign, Lord.
Yeah.
Show me a sign.
Try not to be Gideon, but there are times I want to be Gideon and say, if I lay this fleece out,
Will you?
And you keep it dry and it's raining.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't raining, but that would be what I'd be like.
Yeah. Well, how many times did we ask for that sign or that miracle or like the neon?
Yeah. Right?
Because we feel we need that to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty, hands down, all the time.
All the time.
But.
And he does do it. Like, I'm not, he does give us those signs, but he doesn't, just like he didn't come in the way that the Jews wanted him to come, mm-hmm. he doesn't always give us the sign in the way of which we want him to give it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just as he doesn't answer prayer sometimes in the way we want him to. Yeah. It's the little things. You know, you have to, you see him in those to help build your faith. And so he's trying to, I think sometimes he's trying to teach you to look at the smaller things than the big things.
Well, that's why it's so neat at the end of the walks on water, the big epic moment, right?
Yeah.
The big thing where he's walking on water and Peter goes, "Ooh, me too." it's about, at the end of it, it's about the hem. The simplest, yep. The fringe. It's not the even fringe. The hem. Mm-hmm. The fringe.
It's quite thinking about Peter. about that. He's like, "Lord, if it's you, call me." You already think it's a ghost. Do you not think that this ghost, who's likely going to be a demon, would say, "Yeah, dude,
come on out. Let's go.
Let's try it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's like another one bites the dust. Who's next? It's not just Jesus that would say, "Yeah, come." You know, like, I'm like, if you think it's a trick, why are you saying, "If you are the Lord,
well,
tell me to come out"?
It goes to the, you know, the Pharisees saying, "If you're the Son of Man, you know, jump off this cliff." If you're this, and I don't, mm-hmm. we're still getting there in some part in the other gospels, right? But it's also the thief on the cross. It's also the soldiers and, you know, Herod and all these. If you're really the Son of Man, you don't have to die on this cross. You don't have to do this. You don't, it's all the, you don't have to, you don't have to, you don't have to, or the, if you are, like, how many, I'd be curious. I might do a search on this really quick. How many times is the word "if you are"? How many times does that come out of a disciple's mouth,
mm-hmm.
or out of his head, or out of the Pharisee Sadducee's mouth? Like,
in the
concept of just the commonality of that phrase, and I mean not the exact phrase, but "if you are." And how many times do we say that?
Prove it.
If you are, mm-hmm. show me that sign, Lord. Yep. Show me where to go. It's not that I'm doubting that he's present in my life, but I'm doubting that he's present in that situation, that moment, that thing that mm-hmm. I'm struggling with or desiring the perfect answer on, or, you know, mm-hmm. whichever version that is. So,
yeah,
I think that's interesting. I'm going to Google it.
Google it.
I'm Googling it. I love Google AI. Sorry, it makes me laugh. The specific phrase "if you are" does not appear frequently in the Bible. But the word "if" itself appears approximately 1,600 times. 900 in the Old Testament and 600 in the New Testament. Just the word "if."
Hmm.
Very interesting. Okay. Right. So that didn't answer the question at all, but very interesting thing. Something to tell your best friends about. Okay.
Well, it just be it's at least,
I mean, that's a quick, like, really bad phrased question, but yeah. I think it's something that I'll do a little dive into.
Dive, that's the word.
Not that other D word. Okay.
Yeah.
Not the other D word. Dive.
We're gonna dive into that because I'm just curious about, and I got to figure out what the right phrase is to say. How many times was he questioned? Was he Jesus? You know, like, if you are, there's times he said, "If you're the Son of Man, if you're the Son of God, if you're this," you know, mm-hmm. there's all those phrases and said differently in different versions too. So anyway, just curious.
You'll have to come back and tell us what you find.
I will. I could spend the whole, you guys could talk the rest of the time and I'll keep researching, but that would really defeat the purpose of us talking to each other.
Yeah.
So I'll stop now. I'll desist right now. Anyway. So just back to the beginning of the chapter, mm-hmm. which is just really intriguing to me that Herodias or whatever her name is, she wanted the head. I know can't see me on the podcast, but my face is going, huh?
Yes.
Never understood it.
No, I don't. And I just think I put myself in that daughter's position. Because first, I get the ick factor. That
yeah.
And it teased him. And then she asks for the head on a platter. And he literally gives it to her. And can you imagine? She had to take it. Like, no. Just no.
Gross.
I don't think I love any of family member in this on this earth or in heaven enough to say, give me the head on a platter of my enemies and I'm going to take it. Like, no. I might want people to die, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know. That's not even, I don't, but you know what I feel like? If you're going to
do it over there,
I want them to actually die, but it's not that I haven't thought it. Yeah. But I don't think I'd ever say, could you bring me their head on a platter? Okay. no. Anyway, I watch too many crime shows like where they no, thanks.
No. Well, so this isn't totally related, but it is because it's a head. It's the things, it's the Bible study, it's the Sunday school thing they don't teach you, that David had Goliath's head on a spear and walked through the town with it. You don't hear that part in the Sunday school. I didn't find that out. Honestly, this is a tattletale on myself, but it was in one of my kids' books. Like, we were reading the story. It was like a Lego Bible thing. It wasn't Legos because you can't use Legos. Not, you know, it wasn't like, it was like brick Bible or something like that, but it was like their stories. Like, they had those simple stories, and then it showed Lego Daniel with the Lego Goliath like on a stick, and I was like, what? I had to go and look, because like, I don't teach me that.
Yeah, no, it definitely says that. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I read the books. I didn't watch the show as much.
In Game of Thrones, they obviously have heads on the spears in the town square. I don't want to see that. I'm just saying.
That's not. No.
No.
Nope.
Thank you, but no. So, yeah.
But it also shows, so, you know, Jesus talks about a lot for me, and I didn't, it's one of those things that just kind of click as you start reading it, especially when you read it out loud. Apparently, I just need to start reading my Bible out loud in the mornings for things to click better.
Yeah.
But he said, this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. So he hadn't heard about Jesus until that moment. No. So even though there was a huge, obviously, Jesus movement, and there's a Jesus following, it hadn't gotten to him yet. So some of what Jesus was saying, like, hey, keep this on the DL, like, just keep your mouth shut, mm-hmm. was working. I mean, he was still spreading like wildfire, you know, because he was healing sick and he was showing compassion. He was fighting the system, you know, a little bit. But yet still it shows that his reach hadn't obviously fully gotten to where, you know, it did. So it just kind of, that was interesting to me to think that this mm-hmm. shows that some of what he said, like, people who weren't supposed to reach it yet hadn't gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Harold.
That's the Message Bible version. Harold.
But the ones that the angels are singing, hark, the herald angels. Like,
it's only herald angels that are singing.
I'm afraid it's just say his name again.
That just man, Harry, whom we spoke Harry, about before. Harry.
This one was Herod, great son.
Yep, the one that tried to kill Jesus to begin with.
I But you know, then in classic Jesus fashion, he tries to go and have a quiet moment.
No.
Now these people need my help.
Yeah.
He does actually though get it though. He does get it out until 3 a.m. You know, but
you know, I get overwhelmed very easily. I love my children. Going with my children into Walmart looking for something that I don't know where it's at.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I'm brain dead afterwards. Or everyone talking to me at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the basement and start some laundry to get a little piece of quiet for just a minute. So I can't even imagine. I mean, no rest.
Yep.
Even when he's mourning.
Yeah.
John's death.
Yeah.
Which is important to see, though, too, because that shows the humanity. He knows where John the Baptist is.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to see him again.
Yep.
But yet, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows he needs to go and process. And I think that's a great example for all of us, because we lose people in our lives. And even though we know we're going to see them again, it hurts. It hurts that they're not here anymore. Whether or not you saw them daily, yearly, or hardly ever, they're just, they're not there. You can't call. You can't write. You can't reach out, you know, in the same way. I remember when we read about, like, when it was first taught, you know, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and it was like, always brought to you, like, and just remember, that's not, I remember it being felt like it was like an epiphany moment where people were saying, and that's just, that's not including the women and the children, until you get in the Bible and realize it says it. So you're thinking all these men are like so smart, like, oh yeah, yeah, it's 5,000, but you know, don't forget, it wasn't just the men. It's like, it was only 5,000 men,
yeah,
which means they're probably about that of women and children too, you know. And it's like, but it's Bible literally says it. That's not an epiphany that God gave anybody. It literally says it if you open it. Yeah.
Can you imagine 10,000 people? And like, we joke about this at church all the time. Like, Jesus didn't have an AV team.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have microphones and speakers and stuff like that. He just, you know, I mean, obviously they echoed it to, you know, like passing on the word, passing, you know, things like that. But I'm just trying to picture 10,000 people. You know, where he's at.
Yeah.
Listening.
And can you imagine how stressful it is to say, to try to say exactly what he said, to echo it on back? No,
I don't need that kind of pressure.
Amen.
We know I can talk.
But we already know it's written for us right here, and we don't get it right half the time. Like,
yeah.
Like, imagine like someone going, it's like bad telephone, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
The grass is green, and then it's the grass is chartreuse, and then it's the grass is rainbow. What? How did that word come from? You know,
didn't they say though that's why he spoke on the water a lot, was because it helped?
Yes,
you know, that helped with getting his voice louder.
And they also found these like remote kind of lake areas that had mountains around.
We're in a valley.
Yes, in the valley too. So you had almost like an echo chamber for it. So you didn't have to do all that crazy work. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it said, like, we focus on all of these all the miracles that Jesus did, when like one of the bigger ones is that he could speak to 10,000 people and they heard him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people complain that they can't hear in the back row of the church. Okay. Get Jesus in the boat. The other thing I love is the miracle of leftovers were discovered in the Bible.
Absolutely. I also think that I'm not blessing my food right.
Right.
I think it's pretty tasty. Right.
If there are not 12 baskets of leftovers, you have done something wrong.
Can you tell me what kind of blessing I need to have that kind of bread in my life?
I just think it's one of those cool miracles that There's no explanation. There doesn't need to be, other than it happened.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And God provides. Mm-hmm. It's his provision that makes sure that everyone got fed both physically and spiritually that day.
Yes.
Should we move on to chapter 15?
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do you, your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles his father or his mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father and mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of the tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the person, but what comes out of the mouth that this defiles the person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder and adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witnesses, slander. These are what defiles a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person.' And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' And he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked inside beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went on up on the mountain and sat down there. And a great crowd came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, and the crippled healthy, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' And the disciples said to him, 'Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a crowd?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan."
I feel like it's always bold for them to say, "How are we going to feed them, Lord, when you literally just did it?"
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know we don't always know if this is exactly in succession. We don't really know if this timeline is right, but still, they asked both times. So one had to happen before the other.
Yep.
Makes you wonder if the bread and the fish they have was left over from the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you bless this already? Can you bless it again? Or do we need to get fresh? Or
just once again, we have the Pharisees just, you know, picking out little things. They didn't wash their hands.
Heathens.
Which is a fair assessment, just not in the way of which they were bringing it to the Lord.
Can we have some hand sanitizer, please?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know where those hands have been, Lord. But I like that he says, okay, you're focused on this, but what about this?
Yeah.
So why are you guys focused on just one thing and not the rest? And it makes you wonder, like, is he calling people out? Like, I'm going to call you out. Like, this is what I heard you. You were speaking bad about your mom, you know, or your dad, or, you know, and you were doing, but you think that's okay. And you're mad about these people not washing their hands.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like verse 18, it says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Mm-hmm. And this defies a person. So, you know, it helps us to get perspective of where we're coming from what comes out of our mouth.
Just always goes back to, he'll know you by your fruits, and he'll know you, you know, part of what you are reaping is going to be a direct correlation to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What you say and what you speak over people. And I think that's probably, it's controlling your tongue more than anything else. Like, that's what that means more than cussing. I'm not saying that cussing is something that you're allowed to do, you know, but cussing isn't always just the words that you say. It's the heart that you're in when you say it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why you can be the best speaker or best this or best that, but is your heart?
Yeah.
And are you living what you're talking about or doing?
Yep.
Are they in sync together? Are they in line together?
Yep.
The Gentile woman's faith, you know, just this story also reminds me of when the disciples, you know, try to send the children away. Don't bug him. Stop bothering him. Don't bug him. And yes, whereas he didn't reply right away or anything like that, he's still. I think sometimes the disciples want him to process quicker than he can in a moment because of how much stuff is in him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
the story is it's hard to hear because, you know, he is saying, he's like, I didn't come for you. I didn't come for the Gentiles. Like he hadn't opened that door as much yet, you know, but it still shows that he cared. You know, she showed her faith. She proved it, you know, and he was like, you're right. Here you go.
Yeah.
So it just shows it shows his compassion, but it shows what faith can do, you know, just like she wasn't one of her gods, right? Like he was, that's not likely who they worshiped. You know, but yet she knew, obviously, because she'd probably seen it. You know, you've seen what he can do. So you're going to have faith in what he can do.
Yeah. So your faith is healed you, you know, that kind of, that, I don't remember. I've never good at rough. I know things. I just don't remember where they are.
My problem as well. But he does that a lot. He does it a few times, like, just go, she's healed, she's alive. They're you know, because I know one of them, it's the Roman soldier's son.
Yeah.
You know, like, go, they live, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and he was like, I was just gonna say, you know, the Roman soldier was like, I'm not worthy to have you in my house.
Yeah. But it's still always that Jesus hung out with the least of these, and he didn't conform, you know, he was changing lives, but he still met everybody where they were at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't shy away from positions and from areas that he wasn't supposed to be in technically, right? Like, for the law.
He didn't from it, even if he wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this section just shows, you know, that Jesus came to reach the Israelites. You know, this was their chance. This was their chance to see the Son of God, to accept him.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it was only after, you know, he died on the cross and was resurrected that we got that olive branch.
Yeah. Jesus has a lot of mic drop moments. Listen to that first part of 15 that it's like getting a little, like you had mentioned before, like he's getting fiery. He's getting a little feisty. He's just kind of making sure that people understand that he is who he says he is.
Yep.
He is who they don't want to believe that he is. And he's like, let me, you know, just trying to change it, like showing it, which I think, again, I know that's what, you know, eventually leads to his crucifixion, and it's supposed to, but it's that act of change there. He is literally shaking everything up that they have known mm-hmm. their entire lives, that they have built their religion is built on.
Yep. Yep.
And in their mind, God's not supposed to do that. God gave them all of their religion and some of their rules.
You know? Yeah. 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 And who, I just lost my train of thought, but who are we to tell him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's what they were doing. That's what they was trying to do. Like,
yeah.
No, God, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're just trying to prove it.
They're trying to prove him constantly,
yes.
You know, this and this and this. And it's mm-hmm. it's even from the you know, taking John the Baptist's head, and to the Gentile woman, like, you know, Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. And then the disciples, you know, push her away. She's bothering us with all the begging, and, you know, him saying, well, I was only sent here technically for the lost sheep of Israel. Mm-hmm. And then I also think in that moment, she doesn't care. She's going to boldly profess and go for it, and he has to say, yep, I'm here for everybody.
I am
prophecy fulfilled. Okay, got it. I'm here for everybody.
And then poor Jesus can't even take a walk.
He sure does, like going in the boat cross things, doesn't he? Anyway, it also makes me wonder, I mean, obviously we don't obviously know the full timeline, but of those 4,000 men, plus the women and children, right? How many had heard him, you know, maybe a few days previous?
And just following him.
And just keep, yeah. Yeah.
And then they sit there for 3 days. I'm like,
camping out.
I have trouble going 3 hours without food.
Yeah, same.
But then he provides in abundance. Mm-hmm. God is good. He cares for people
all the time.
Yep. Yeah, that was the response. Come on now. I'm choking. I just mean he's good because he constantly provides for mm-hmm. and for his children. He provides for the people that Jesus has, you know, called out to be the disciples, like to help him. And he provides for his son.
Yeah.
To do the work that's set before him. And so it's just kind of, it shouldn't boggle my mind some days, but sometimes it just does.
Yeah.
And it's super, super fun to be kind of going sometimes, oh, I feel tired in ministry. How did he do it? Right.
Yeah. Especially like we talked about earlier, you know, he tried to take a half a minute to himself and he can't get it.
No.
You know, how my attitude is if I can't get just a half a minute.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and I mean, that's hard, but it's like he also says these people still need me. Like these people followed me here. They need me.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows that if he does what they need, because he can, that it's going to be for the greater good anyway, you know.
Yep.
But you know, the Lord God still provides him that minute though later on, but
yeah,
he knows what his mission is and he's doing it. Though, if I'm not mistaken, I think, doesn't it end up, and I don't know what gospel this is in, you know, but they end up having to send people away because they're literally just following him because they know he's going to feed them.
Yeah. And then he's going to care for them and they don't have to worry about it for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, like we said it before, going through back through, you know, the gospels and rereading them. And I know we started in Matthew because, like I mentioned before, with Mylan wanting to start in the beginning of the Bible, I said, I wanted to start in the beginning of the gospels. Like, let's just start Matthew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, just how that's just in my head. That's how it always goes. You know, and it's just nice to go back through and see and remember and relearn and learn new things.
Yeah.
You know, there's because, again, we, you know, the living.
Always something.
Always something. It's a living book that we talked about. Like, that fringe of his robe, that's something that I never remembered that in there. In this part, you know, when you're not talking about the bleeding woman, you know, it's just that the things that always that mean something to you now that might not have meant it when you read the first time through. But again, it's my soapbox. It's just that you're checking your sources. You're remembering what Jesus actually said and what he didn't say and what he did and what he didn't do.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. No matter how much we think we know or remember.
Yeah. Even like who we're listening to, you know, what sermons we're listening to, you know, it's always important to go back and check. You know, I know there's some pretty big names out there who are not quoting the Bible correctly, you know, and they're taking references that's not there.
Yeah.
Well, they like a certain part of something, just like we all do. And I think we said this before, but we forget so often the whole context of what Jesus was doing in that moment or where the disciples had them, you know, why the disciples. So in defense of the disciples trying to push the woman away, it's because they saw him constantly barraged and bombarded by people. And so they're trying to find moments of rest and peace for him. And someone just going, hey, 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 like your kid, hey mom, hey mom, or hey dad, you know, whatever that is. They're trying to say, no, he needs his moments of rest too. So that the good side of that is that they're trying to help him, but the bad side is that he's supposed to be there to help all. That is what his short time on earth was about. So
yeah.
So that's the hard part of framing it all too.
Well, these two chapters were a little shorter than, you know, we've had in the past. So I, you know, even though there's a lot there, I know it feels like we haven't really talked as much about it, but we've hit on every section, you know, and then, you know, the next time we go through it, we'll get into a little bit more.
And we're getting into the good stuff now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all good stuff, but you know what I mean?
So I guess at this point, I mean, we're just going to, we'll keep going through Matthew next time and keep seeing what new things we learn and what new things we find and what we relearn, what God shows us. And so hopefully y'all are getting just as much out of this as we are. If not, hopefully maybe more. At least we're lighting a little fire and telling you guys to get in there. It's like we said, you know, if we question sometimes when we're listening to stuff, we expect you guys to question us. You know, we are not infallible. We are humans. And, you know, a lot of what I say is like, I would like Lizology. This is my thought process. This is how I see it. It doesn't mean that's not how you might see it or what God's telling you out of it, you know, and I'll check my sources, check the Bible, make sure. I mean, don't kill me when you notice I miss a few words when I'm trying to read out loud. It's pressure. It's real pressure when you're reading out loud.
If there's something that stands out to anyone, please let us know because I love learning about it, love growing in it. So tell us.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes we might change names, you know, to Harold.
Yep, to Harold. Or just tell you guys to look at it because we're not reading it out loud.
True story. read on your own before listening to our podcast. Yeah.
And read a that physical name Bible. Starts with A. Yeah. Well, I guess, and with that, we'll just see everybody next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.